Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." I recall a silent night many years ago, a Christmas Eve. The children were nestled snug in their beds, fast asleep, awaiting the great day. I sat on the floor surrounded by instruction sheets and parts of toys. Gloria sat on the couch urging me on. It didn't help. Frustrated by indecipherable directions, who writes those, by the way, and annoyed by my wife's coaching, I was in no shape to welcome the Christ child into my life that night. It was a child's desk with a pegboard that was the big challenge. The task was going much slower than I expected. I wanted to be finished by 11 o'clock p.m. when our Christmas Eve service began. Now, I must tell you that Christmas Eve services stir up great anxiety in me. Perhaps it's my imagination, I think not, but it seems to me that the expectations on Christmas Eve are so high, so great, that holy night. We all come expecting something profound, and I tremble before that expectation. Well, anxiety leads to preoccupation. Add to that frustration and annoyance, and I wasn't much fun to be with. I think Gloria was glad to get me out of the house, but I wasn't happy. I wasn't ready to face God's people. At 10:45, I left the scattered mess on the floor and trudged next door to the little white-framed church. I walked in the side door, heading for my office to pick up my notes and my Bible, and glanced over my left shoulder into the sanctuary, and to my surprise, it was already full of people, faces aglow in the flickering candlelight. A hush began to steal over my soul. We sang and we prayed. I read the old familiar story once again. And along the way, I looked out over those faces shining in the candlelight. Bit by bit, the whirlwind in my soul subsided. Perhaps it was the magic of the midnight hour, the dimly lit sanctuary illuminated by flickering candles. Part of it was surely the carols and the lessons, but I suspect most of all it was those faces, each of them people whom I'd loved and who'd given so much to me. Faces turned up to me, waiting a word from God on a holy night. Faces turned up to God in love and expectation. Some of the faces were worn and weary, some lined with years, others young and eager, not yet knowing the pain and the burden of years. Most smiling, some serious, but all waiting. And all of them, brothers and sisters, a family of faith who'd seized my soul and given me theirs. It was the miracle of church, and it overpowered me. Out of the darkness on a holy Christmas Eve, God sneaked up on me and spoke a powerful word. Strange, isn't it, how God speaks in such quiet tones and unexpected ways. I walked home and continued my construction project. I was all alone now in the silent house. Gloria was in bed, weary of a cranky husband, and anticipating children who no doubt would rise at the crack of dawn. I sat on the floor in the eerie silence of midnight and worked. It was the wee hours of the morning when I finished, but I was too keyed up to sleep. So I turned the lights off and sat there in the darkness, staring out the picture window into a greater darkness. The church next door was dark now, but the illuminated cross atop the steeple shone bright against the midnight blackness. I remembered all those shining faces and God's whisper in the candlelight. Now the quiet was thunderous, for God spoke again. The power of the moment was overwhelming. I sat in the middle of that dark house, which was shrouded by silent darkness, knowing that grace upon grace, that house was filled. Indeed, I was surrounded by a wife and children who love me. The ancient story of Bethlehem's manger filled with new meaning. Sleeping babies, their mother, the incredible power of dark and quiet combined to infuse the Christmas story with emotions to match the meaning of all those familiar words I'd read. My soul took flight that holy night when God surprised me with a whisper. It seems God seldom shouts. More often than not, God speaks in a whisper so easily missed. That holy night when Jesus was born, God spoke in a whisper. That world clanged and clattered loudly. Rome made a noisy, terrible commotion. Jerusalem that night was a cacophony of animal sounds, religious confusion, chatter, crowds surging in and out of the temple, synagogue and marketplace, shouting in various languages, buying and selling, living and dying. Meanwhile, off in Bethlehem, in the darkness of midnight, God whispered in a baby's soft cry, a mother's sweet singing, Joseph's silent wonder. Then, as now, God didn't shout down the noise. While the earth slumbered on, while the angels held their breath in wondrous expectation, a heavenly chorus tore a hole in the sky and sang to a few mangy and very surprised shepherds. Back in Bethlehem, that little but holy family, huddled in the darkness, hardly the audience we'd expect for the great and decisive Word of God in human history. God's whisper comes to us so often in the ordinary, we miss it. We expect lightning and thunder, bright lights and ecstasy. We expect, and that's our problem. Jesus' contemporaries expected a conqueror. God gave them a manger and a cross. Each whispers in its own way, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's what God whispered to me that holy night, sitting there in the darkness. But know this, God's whisper took on flesh and blood and therefore thundered in the darkness. Those shining faces in the flickering candlelight were the people of God who'd made the love of Bethlehem's manger reality in my life. A sleeping wife and her babies formed in my soul the very grace of God that comes in Mary's child. For God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son. The Word became flesh and dwells among us. What a whisper! In the mad, mad world of Christmas 1993, amid the noise, in the scurrying, through the clamor, hear the whisper of God in a manger. In this congregation, in the touch and the voices and the love of people whom God's brought into your life, in the name of Jesus, that manger's baby. Stop. Be quiet. Listen to the carols. Hear the story. Look all around you. It's Christmas Sunday. And the loving grace of God lies quietly in a manger. while that grace forces from the hearts and the souls and the throats of the angels that chorus, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to you, people of goodwill. Amen.